Let me pass my greetings as well from the church in Makaza. We keep you in our prayers, and it's good to be with you again today, seeing your faces, and Corneille, whom I have not seen for quite some time. Let us turn to the book of Thessalonians. We read from chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 12. Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 12. Let us read. I'm reading from the ESV. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. In our culture, cultures differ, but in our Xhosa culture, when there will be marriage in that family, the bride will be in the house for the last week of marriage. She is not allowed to go around. And during that time, she will put an egg in her face so that when the marriage day comes, she looks beautiful. Or sometimes they will put sugar with little water and then she puts it in their face for the rest of that week. In that house, there will be a white flag outside so that everyone will know that there will be this big event in this family that they are waiting for. Everyone is busy during that time, looking for cows or for groceries, so that they make this event to be special. This is how we wait for this big event. The bridegroom will come to fetch his bride. Now, looking at this book of Thessalonians, something that you will notice is what is usually referred as a leitmotif by the Germans, but it means a recurring theme that goes through this book. You see this every end of the chapter when Paul finishes his thought. He will say these words, referring to the second coming of Christ. Look with me, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we have among you and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and through God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Look at the end of chapter 2. This was end of chapter 1. Look at the end of chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory. Enjoy. Look at the end of chapter 3. Now, verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. That leitmotif of the coming of Christ. After these 12 verses, look at verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at the end of chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of our peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time he finishes a chapter, he reminds them of the coming of the Lord. Now, this makes me ask the question when we come to this passage that we have read. How to wait for the second coming of Christ? And I think Paul is here saying, we strive for the conduct that is pleasing to God. That's how we wait for the second coming of Christ. We strive for the conduct that is pleasing to God. What do you mean, Paul, by saying we strive for the, for the conduct that is pleasing to God. How do we strive to please God? Two things that we will look at this morning. One, verse 1-8, we excel in holiness. That's how we strive to please God. He says, excel in holiness. Verses 1-8. Now, as you read this opening, verse, Paul is saying, we urge you, brothers, that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. He's looking at pleasing God, a conduct that is pleasing to God. And he says, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Excel in holiness. Again, look at verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Or you can say, your holiness. So Paul wants them to do this more and more. The conduct that is pleasing to God. The will of God, their holiness. Excel in holiness. Now, Paul is saying here, I am writing to you to walk in pleasing God as you are already doing. Look at verse 1. Just as you are doing, do it more and more. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not here giving you a new information about the conduct that is pleasing to God. I'm not asking you to change your direction to a different direction. I am giving you what you already know and what you're already doing. But he's asking you to do that more and more. Therefore, Paul here is not suspecting that these believers were not walking in holiness, or when we're not pleasing God in holiness. We'll see in the following verses what he focuses on when he talks about holiness. Paul is saying, I know you're already living in holiness. You already have this conduct that is pleasing to God. But I'm just asking you to excel in that holiness. Do it more and more. Now, Paul focuses here on sexual immorality. If you look at verse 3 up to verse 8, that you abstain from sexual immorality when he talks about this holiness. Now, if you watch football, you will see or you will notice that every end of the match, there is a man of the match. And usually when they are interviewed, they will say, I want more of this. They don't look at this as a burden, but it's something that they want to do. They want to excel. This is what Paul is urging from this church. Now, but why is Paul focusing on sexual immorality here? And remember, I said to you, it's not that Paul is suspecting these believers that they are living in a way that is not pleasing to God. No, he says, I know you are living in holiness. In other words, as a visitor here, or maybe as a friend to some, I don't want you to suspect that maybe they've whispered to me, or maybe they said something about your conduct. No, I know, KBC, that you are living in holiness. But I urge you to do this more and more. Excel in holiness. Now, Paul, he is in the Greco-Roman culture, whereby this particular sin was common in that culture. They say, in fact, in Thessalonica, there was a cult, a mystery cult, to Kabiras, which involved sexual immorality. They say unmarried men were engaged in sexual intercourse with prostitutes, slaves, and other men. Even married men had mistresses in this culture. Someone called Demosthenes says, we keep mistresses for pleasure, concubines for our day-to-day bodily needs. But we have wives to produce legitimate children and serve as trustworthy guardians of our homes. This is how marriage looked like in this Greco-Roman culture. Someone called Horace says, if your groan is swelling and the housemaid or a slave boy is at hand, arousing constant desire, do you prefer to best intention? He says, not me. I enjoy love that is available and easy. The last quote, Pompeii, a graffiti that was found, written by Pompeii, the Roman ruler. He says, if anyone is looking for tender embraces in this town, he should know that all the girls are available. Now, they say Paul had to mention and warn believers of this particular sin of sexual immorality, because that was the context he was in. This was popular. This was well known. A Christian manual called the Didache repeatedly warned the believers on sexual sins. It is said the reason for this constant warning is that new believers of the time had to be taught repeatedly about self-control in this area of sexual immorality. Now, if it was a problem then, with no technology as we have today, with no internet, how much more do we need this warning today as the church to guard against sexual immorality? We live in the world of pornography. We know these stories. Leaders, pastors, have fallen into this sin. So Paul is saying,
because of you are in this culture, the Greco-Roman culture, I have to warn you of this.
In fact, in all Paul's letters, he does not forget to mention this.
Because they believed that if a believer would fall into sin, this one is at the top of the list. Excel in holiness. How do we wait for the second coming of Christ? We strive for the conduct that is pleasing to God. How do we strive for this conduct? We excel in holiness. Do this more and more. Paul, remember that he is in Corinth when he's writing this letter. And even there, he is bombarded by this sexual sin in the Gentile world. He knows that I have to warn these believers. Even if they do walk in holiness, I have to warn them to excel in holiness. Now, secondly, which is last, how do we wait for the second coming of Christ? We strive for the conduct that is pleasing to God. How do we strive? By excel in holiness. Now look at verse 9 to 12. 2. Excel in love. Excel in love. Let me read verse 10 for you. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Excel and love. Again, Paul is saying, I know that you love your brothers. He says, you have no need for anyone to write to you with regards to love. For you have been taught by God to love one another. And I have seen this in how you have loved other brothers in this region of Macedonia. He's not doubting their love, just as he was not doubting their holiness. But he says, do this more and more. I know you love your brothers, KBC. But I urge you to excel. Do it more and more. Now, Paul says here, with love, there might be a temptation for others to exploit that love. You love one another. You support one another. They've been supporting churches in Macedonia, probably supporting them financially. But he says, I know that with this kind of love, or where there is this love, there might be some who exploit this love. That's why he warns at the end of these verses
to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and work with your own hands. They say, since this was a new church plan, and Paul preaching about the second coming of Christ, some, because of, they were thinking that the coming of Christ can be at any moment, they started to forsake their jobs. And now, because of Thessalonica was exempted from taxes by the Roman Empire, the Roman Empire said, you don't need to pay taxes, but just take care of the people in your region. So some people were saying, we don't have to work because Christ can come at any time. But anyway, we have those who are rich among us, who are told by the Roman Empire to assist the poor in this region. So some were taking advantage of this and misusing the theology of the second coming of Christ to scourge on others, to exploit the love of those who were wealthy, even in the church. That's why Paul is saying here, I know that you love. And I urge you to continue to love, to do this more and more, to excel in this, to keep supporting other brothers. But at the same time, he's warning those who misuse the theology of the second coming to be lazy and to sponge on others. Or they are exploiting the love of others. So here there are these two things. Love and excel in love. But also be careful that others do not exploit this love. Now, Paul is using the word aspire in verse 11, to aspire to live quietly. A word that was common in that culture in the Greco-Roman world. But it was surprising for Paul to use this word, aspire, for believers. Because this word was used by unbelievers. Those who struggle by all means necessary to get ahead, even to the point of trampling over others. It was a competitive world, the Greco-Roman world. And when you say to the people of the Greco-Roman world, aspire, they immediately know that this means we must strive by all means necessary, even trampling over others to get ahead. But Paul says here, no, don't aspire for this. I'm not talking here about getting ahead. I'm not talking about boosting your reputation for public honor and commendation, which was done in this culture. But strive for quiet lives, as opposed to this public honor, this reputation of public honor. Strive for quiet lives. He was not saying, don't be involved in what is happening around. But rather strive to render service, not to receive admiration. So, this is excelling in love. Don't try. That's why he says, mind your own affairs. Don't try to strive to receive admiration. And we are in that world, as Paul was in that Greco-Roman world, whereby people strive for this reputation, public reputation, public honor, commendation, admiration. And Paul says, you must aspire to live quietly so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Now, do we do things for the glory of God? Or we are more concerned about our reputation? We are more concerned about receiving admiration. Paul says, as it was in that world, competitive as it was, it may be as well among the believers. Now, in conclusion, this is not something that is easy to do. I mean, how do you please a God who's sovereign, transcendent, holy? How do you please that God? Yes, Paul says, you excel in holiness, verse 1 to 8, and you excel in love, verse 9 to 12. But notice at the end of verse 8, because you can't excel in holiness by your own means. Whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. It's like Paul here is saying, the Lord has given you the Holy Spirit to help you in pleasing Him in holiness. If you think that you can't fall into sexual immorality, then you are mistaken. It is God giving us His Holy Spirit in helping us to live in holiness and to excel in holiness. Again, do you think that you can excel in this love on your own? Look at verse 9, verse 9b. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Someone has said this is referring to the inward transformative work of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural work of God in their hearts. God has given you that spirit to love others. Therefore, it should be our prayer for the Lord to continue to help us in excelling in love. But it should be a concern as well if we lack in this love and holiness. Because if we have the Holy Spirit, therefore, the Lord has given us that ability through the Holy Spirit to live in holiness and to excel in holiness. To live in love and to excel in that love. Lastly, those who are unbelievers might say, oh, this is just talking to those who are believers. I don't need to live holy and in love. Anyway, this was a church in Thessalonica. But just note how I began this message. That there is a reminder by Paul in every chapter of the second coming of Christ. It will come, and it will come at any time. Will you be ready for that? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you, we thank you for your words. Words of encouragement, words of caution, words of warning. In this world that we live in, this postmodern world where everything is being questioned, truth is being questioned, authority is being questioned, where people claim to have authority over their own bodies. They don't need anyone to tell them what to do. And you are warning us that we are in that world. We might fall into that trap of not living in holiness and living in love. We might fall into the trap of doing as we please. And not striving for this conduct that is pleasing to you. May you help us, O Lord, to continue in you, to do these things more and more, to excel in holiness, to excel in love. Help your church, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.